In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. When I was a little boy, I spent a lot of time in church. This was a born-again Bible church in Northwoods, Wisconsin. It was started by my grandparents on both sides, so I was really baked into this culture. And we memorized a lot of scripture. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee, we read in the Psalms, and so we did it. And I don't know what the first verse that I ever memorized was, but I would put $100 on it that it was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave it his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. King James Version, of course. That verse, whether we knew it or not, I think was the first one we learned because it contained everything we needed for salvation. In ways that I don't know that we realized at the time. As I look at it now, the subject of the sentence is God and love. And not just a love that is passive, but a love for us, the world. And not just something to admire, but it was active, gave, poured itself out. And that's not just something that happened, it's something that we participate in. Whosoever believeth. And that when we do, God's life and love in us is limitless and unending. Have everlasting life. That's a great formula. It's good stuff. And I am so glad I was incubated in that. But there was a virus in that verse. Whosoever believeth in him. But what about the people who didn't believe or believed differently? What about my friends at school who went to the local Catholic church, St. Albert's, and believed all kinds of stuff about Mary that wasn't in the Bible? What about my friend David, the Mormon, who went to the stake and believed things about the Bible that I didn't? And what about the people who never heard? And what about the people who just decided not to believe? So, and then for us, the tests of what was correct doctrine got stricter and larger. And if you were raised Roman Catholic, you just swap in everything, swap out the Bible and swap in the church's teaching authority and confirmation and baptism and masses and all the things you had to do to get it right. Belief brought with it this incredible anxiety. And I have to say, in my case, even worse, it brought with it incredible security. I knew I was saved, I knew they were not, my little kid brain, and that settled it. And I was taught to think that. There's a song that I was taught in Sunday school, "One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you?" No irony. Until now. You hear what's going on here? As secure as our beliefs make us feel, or as insecure, in either case, they become toxic. What is nourishing and sustaining becomes deadly when it's held too long, too tight, or with anxiety. And specifically with this verse, instead of focusing on the front part of it, God so loved the world that God gave, we focused on the last part of it, whosoever believeth, and more specifically, whosoever doth not believe, and what would happen to them. So I would say it's not too much of a stretch to say that the theology that grew out of this has been responsible for every bloody crusade the church has ever sponsored. Because whosoever doth not believe is perishable, expendable, shall perish, and may be even meant to be extinguished and expended by us. That's what happened. In fact, the bloodiest day in church history happened in 1572, bloodiest month, in France, when up to 30,000 Christians were killed in about 3 weeks' time, really a couple days' time, by other Christians over the politics of belief. How did we turn God's love into that? Well, I would say the same way we do it with everything that we try to make right and then ruin. Usually it goes wrong. This theme I'm coming back to over and over again, the small separate self. Thinking our way to something that feels virtuous or seems virtuous, and then never looking beneath and around to see what else we have just done in preserving something, holding on to something, making ourselves the center of belief. We made religion about belief, belonging through belief, rather than about being belonged in God's love. This is what's happening with Nicodemus as he comes to Jesus. He's trying to figure this all out, has some deep questions with good intent, but it's in a framework of belief that he understands, that makes sense to him, that he's trying to fit it all into, makes sense of it. And Jesus, well, first of all, around Nicodemus is, in all good storytelling, remember, as dream psychologists say, you are every character in the dream. It's all about you. In the end, it's all about us. It's just not the way we thought. We're the stand-in for Nicodemus here. So listen that way. Jesus tries to unhook him from his beliefs by talking about the wind. Great image. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. You can't see it, but you can see its action. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know it comes from where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit, he says. In turbulent times, that invitation to live in the wind, in the whirlwind, isn't that inviting, I understand. It feels like life is that way anyway. And where's the anchor? Where's the rock? That's often what people come to church to find, is I just want it to be like it always was. What happened to God who never changes? I think we can live this way, though, what Jesus is inviting us into, with ballast, or maybe a compass is a better image. Back to that verse I learned in Sunday school, but the front part of it, or really the whole thing. Seeing it the same thing in a different way. God so loved the world that he gave. Imagine that. Love at the beginning, love at the end, love at the center of everything, pouring itself out in hidden but felt ways, which is actually the image that's used in Genesis, the very first words of the Bible to describe God. God is this wind blowing over the face of the deep. That's the Spirit of God from the start. God pouring everything out. You don't have to be a Christian. You can just be a good scientist. What was 13.5 billion years ago? That whole thing that happened that brought this into being. It's the first incarnation. And then the Spirit, the blowing always and everywhere through all places and all things, focusing our attention in the life and death and rising of Jesus, the second incarnation, but really second for us. It's uncountable. So that we can start to see it in ourselves and live it in ourselves. Imagine that. Living like the wind. Not only imagining it, but practicing it. The presiding bishop, Michael Curry, you all know him, he's the one whose 15 minutes of world fame came when he preached at Harry and Meghan's wedding a couple years ago in England. He, in his characteristic way, breaks it down and says, if it's not about love, it's not about God. That makes it a little easier to tell what's truth and what's not and what to believe, and just listen for that. Not about love, probably not about God. Our beliefs, in the end, imprison us. Any belief. There's a Buddhist story where Mara is noticing someone looking at something on the ground and being fascinated with it and picking it up, and it's truth. And the interlocutor says to Mara, aren't you worried that that person has just found truth? And Mara says, oh, not at all. As soon as someone finds a piece of the truth, they make a belief out of it. And they're stuck. They're mine. I heard this week that in this county, Chinese and Asian restaurants' patronage there is off 40%. But not in Italian restaurants. So what's up with that? There's a belief there, somewhere, not acknowledged, not examined, that is still active, like the wind. You can see it in moments like this. So as alarm around the coronavirus kind of heats up around us, and it will, and it's going to continue, if all predictions are right, rather than getting more freaked out, this is an incredible opportunity to root down in love and live like the wind, or allow the wind, just be in it. This moment and the next action, rather than what happens if and if and if and if. That's a kind of belief, and becomes a consignment after a while to death, to high anxiety. We'll make the worst decisions. What does it look like to open our hearts, make our decisions around the most vulnerable among us? That's what the opportunity is to listen in for. Yesterday, many of us here were at the screening in this place of the film True Justice, the story of lawyer Brian Stevenson's lifelong work to bring light to the inequalities in the justice system, deep, steep inequalities, to change this country's narrative around racial difference. It is deadly. It is killing not just people who are incarcerated, but it's killing the soul of all of us. And watching that, listening to his story and what he has done and what there is yet to do, is heartbreaking. Some of us use the language of feeling ashamed. And also incredibly inspiring. There's somebody who's living like the wind in a place where everyone else says you can't do that. He's doing it. He invites us to do it. What does it look like to live opening ourselves to love, rooted in love, one that binds us in solidarity, as well as live this unpredictable, windy, spirit-blown life that will take us to places that we have not expected to go and couldn't predict. Wow, I don't know. We'll find out if we practice. John's Gospel, all of it, including this section, but every word you'll read, has this really unique perspective on love and eternity and hooks them together. Eternity for John is not the afterlife. It is a way of living now. Eternity is now. And if you hold yourself back from poured out love, you will never see it. And if you give yourself, John says, to this kind of self-giving, all-in love, the world will start to light up. It will start to glow. It will start to look different and be different, and you will be different. Those who walk this way longer than I have say with pretty unified voice that that's true and real. The world does start to light up. It does start to look different. We do start to become different. It will change us. You know, the word creed, not such a happy word for a lot of us. It's all about belief. The word creed, etymologically, is connected to the word cardio, heart. And the literal translation in Latin of credo, the first words of the creed, I believe, is I give my heart to. Something so small, just turned a little bit, opens up in a new direction. Belief is not what we thought it was or were taught it was. It's something that starts and ends here. St. Paul's has this unofficial tagline, belong before you believe. And I think we can, with Jesus' permission and John's permission, just one up that and say, you can skip believe altogether. Just belong to love in this way. Belong to the wind in this way. Just lean in. We don't know where we're going. We never have. We just thought we did. But now, getting closer to this moment where we can say, no, we really don't know, and that's okay. Because we're rooted and grounded in love. Now, I mean, wow, we get to practice that daily, and literally, in the next week, watch what happens. Tuesday, I didn't think we'd be on Sunday as having a, you know, coronavirus is in Norwalk. Watch the freak out that happens around that. We can use that, use it in our own hearts to listen in more deeply to a call to be rooted in love and live like the wind. So in the couple of minutes of silent reflection that we give ourselves now, my invitation is to listen into some situation in your life that's just rising up. Don't think about it, just whatever's there, whatever comes right up. That without doing anything different, just listening in, but with this invitation to live in a kind of model of poured out love without having to control anything, like the wind. What does that do to your relationship to that situation? What 1 degree or 2 degrees of shift is there? Where does the wind come in and stir that up a little bit? Let's just listen in to our own lives, to where Jesus is speaking and the Spirit is moving and we're getting unhooked from some beliefs that might have made us stuck, ready to take a ride in the wind.